Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to today's episode of the Players NIL podcast. My guest today, Ishveen Jolly. Ishveen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's really nice to meet you. And I just read something this morning that said a gentleman that does a lot of podcasts said he stopped doing pre-interviews because it became too scripted and too mechanical. And so, you know, I've always adopted that philosophy is we just kind of meet each other in flow. I feel like I'm the kind of person that if responded to, I'll be the guy talking on the airplane and having a conversation or sitting at a bar stool and learning about people's lives. So we'll try and take that format here. Ishveen, we want to talk about your professional career, specifically open sponsorship, and we want to, you know, really engage in that. But I start every podcast with questions about your childhood. Mostly around athletics and sports. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up, the activities that you participated in, and how you became a sports fan.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Manchester, England, hence the accent. So started the company in America, and now kind of split my time between the two. And I loved sports. It was like the only thing I wanted to do when I was young. I played netball predominantly, which I don't know how many people in America are familiar with it. I would describe it as basketball meets ultimate frisbee. So, you know, on a basketball court with hoops, but you can't move with the ball, so you have to pass, like ultimate frisbee. Kind of grew up playing sports. I would say that was a big part of kind of my success at school and my success of university and my success in kind of being a human being and teamwork and communication and all of that. And so fast forward, after a couple of years after graduation, I was a management consultant and then realized like this like sports passion that I had, I didn't want it to just be on the field. I wanted it to be a bigger part of my life. And hence I went into the sports industry.
I'm not going to let you off the hook that easy. The first principle of our business is how do you use athletics to better your life? Go back to your childhood. A coach, a competitor, a parent, some lessons that you learned. What were the life skills that sports taught you during that time?
Yeah. One, how to lose, how to fail. I don't know how many, you know, I've met like obviously people in theater and music and everyone, like there's a lot of different extracurricular things that you can have, but I don't know how many things are as good at like teaching you how to lose and fail as sports is. Second is, I think there's a big difference actually between people who play individual sports and team sports. I was always more of a team sports person. Yeah, that kind of phrase, like jack of all, master of none, like that's quite like a team, you know, I'm like very quick, but I'm not the fastest, like I can catch well, but I presume there are people with like bigger, better hands than me, like I can bat well, but I'm not, you know, I'm not going to score the home run or whatever else. But so I think like leaning on the other people and like finding your role in the team. At university, I was captain of, so I played cricket as well, and I was captain of the cricket team for my college. And I remember like someone said to me, the person who passed me the captainship, she went, "You're not the best, but you'll be able to get 11 girls playing cricket on a Sunday morning. And that's what this role needs." And, you know, I found that quite funny. Obviously, I was a bit wounded because I was like, I'd like to be the best, but I wasn't. But, you know, it's like, what is your role in the team? And you know, what do you deliver there? And so I think also I'd say like, the idea around meritocracy, it's so prevalent in like sports and extracurricular activities generally. You know, I was, I've got like long hair. I've never cut it because of my religion. I'm Sikh. I wore these like big geeky glasses since I remember like the age of like maybe 10 or something. And so I feel like I probably wouldn't have found my place. And I definitely wouldn't have been one of the popular people if it wasn't for sport. And there's something about like when you get out there and like the whistle is blown, like no one cares what you look like. You know, think about the NFL, like, are you thin? Are you fat? Are you black? Are you white? Are you like whatever? Like you just, we just want the best person in that position. And so I remember, I remember doing like a podcast and they were saying like, you know, about being different. And I was like, well, When you play sport, you don't feel different to anyone else. You're like one team. And I think that was huge, so that I had the confidence just to show up. Like, if I was doing my best, I'll be accepted. And I think, it like naively taught me that, but I just kept it for so much of my life.
That's a great story. And, as a parent, I have a philosophy that the two greatest things that parents can give their children, confidence and opportunity. And I think, as you mentioned, it could be dance, it could be music, it could be art, it could be science, it could be travel. For a lot of us, especially in my world, it was sports. And I thought you described it perfectly. And my guess is that the biggest attribute that you had on the scouting report that was that you were a good teammate. And congratulations on that.
Well, we'll just assume so because we won't ask anyone else.
So we'll fast forward to open sponsorship, and it's the second part, the second building foundation building block of my company, the Players NIL, is once your athletic career is over officially, how can you use athletics to better the lives of the people around you? In other words, how can you spread these lessons that you've learned, these, all of these instrumental experiences in your life, and in starting a business and leading a business and leading people, and now working in the sports world, you get an opportunity to do that all the time. Tell us about open sponsorship. How did it start? What was your original plan? Is it the same today? Has it evolved? Give us a little story about that.
Yeah, so when I first entered the sports world, I had no clue what I was going to do, and I kind of fell into sponsorship. So I worked in the cricket league in India called the IPL, which is like one of the top leagues in the world, and I was like selling, the shirt front deals on for sports teams, these cricket teams, and I just was like, there's like that MasterCard catchphrase, like money can't buy experiences. Like, sponsorship is a money can buy amazing experience, right? Like, you're getting your brand in the middle of the pitch, and like you're getting access to players and all of this fun stuff. And I was like, this is amazing. And it felt like, as I learned sponsorship more and more, two things arose for me. One is, God, this deal making process is pretty inefficient and quite difficult, and there's not very much logic. It's like, who did you know? I worked for the best team in the IPL, arguably. And when someone else did a deal, and I'm sure that's how every NBA or NFL or anyone who works at a team, they're like, I didn't even know they were in the market. Like, why did we not speak to them? How did that deal happen? And so, I remember feeling like, what is the science behind this? And I studied like economics and management at university, so I'm quite a logical, rational human being. And then the second part was that it felt like you were either in it or you weren't. The people who invested, they would like do more and more and more. And then you'd have these brands and you'd be like, sponsorship. And they're like, oh no, we don't do that. And you're like, why is this thing like this? It's like the way it is. And so the kind of genesis of open sponsorship was to like bring transparency and like accessibility to the sponsorship industry, really to benefit both sides. Obviously, on one side, you've got teams, you've got athletes, you've got leagues, you've got schools, whoever it may be, they need sponsorship. Sponsorship is a massive source of revenue. It's how they can like invest in themselves or their training facilities or whatever else. So they need sponsorship. It's a $60 billion industry. And then the other side, brands, like major brands like a Red Bull or Nike, like they've proven, and these are like maybe sports brands, but you've got like JP Morgan Chase. Like, if it didn't work, you wouldn't have these massive brands doing it, AWS, whoever. Why is it not available to all and for smaller budgets? And so that was kind of the idea behind it. I'd say wasn't necessarily a pivot, but a focus that I didn't realize we were going to have, that is obviously the focus today, is on the athletes, like the talent side of it. My background was very much more like teams and leagues, as well as a bit of athlete stuff. But with the rise of influencer marketing, social media, content creation, all of these things, the athlete suddenly became bigger than the team, right? And what they could do, back in the day, like you could only really sponsor golf and tennis to put your logo on them. You couldn't really do anything that much. Maybe you could do a TV commercial, but there wasn't that much. But now, with everyone having social, like it's so easy to do deals. It's like it's cheap, it's easy, it's quick. And so really, that changing environment made us super focused on the athlete. And today I'd say, like, 95% of our revenue comes from like athlete talent partnerships, or fitness content creators, all of that stuff, not just athletes.
It's an interesting point. So I spent 15 years in Los Angeles producing scripted content for the NFL, NBA, MLB. And starting in 2010, we did TV shows, movies, commercials. And in the United States, obviously, sports sponsorship is a huge business, as you just described. And I remember in those early days having to put the athletes in their jerseys so that people knew who they were, right? In other words, today, is there any question what LeBron James looks like, right? Is there any question what Patrick Mahomes looks like? And so to your point, social media, content creation, the sheer accessibility to behind the scenes stories has just created what is perceived to be a relationship with what they look like. We don't need them in their uniforms. We know what these world stars and these world athletes look like. So it's changed dramatically. And it's created opportunities, right, for these athletes to then expand their audience. Tell us how athletes have changed in the last 5 years, 6, 7 years since you started your company, and how have you adjusted to promoting them and marketing them?
Yeah, I'd say it kind of went hand in hand, where like the onslaught of the social media era meant that athletes had to do this, but then athletes themselves wanted to do this, which is become people. When it first came out, actually, I remember a lot of, actually it was pre-COVID, a lot of the feeds of these athletes was like their sports stuff. It was mostly like, I'm just going to reshare what like the Mavs have posted and I'll just like share that winning shot. And then I remember this happened because like COVID hit, and especially there was a big focus on like the female athletes who like kind of gave you a behind the scenes of their life. And I think there was like this perception that like weirdly like female athletes felt like we shouldn't really be saying we're married or like that we have kids or that we cook or whereas, and then people were like, this is cool. Like, show me everything about you. What do you eat in the morning? And that obviously led to more deal flow, but that came first. And that was again, because of social, to your point, Mark, because no one was telling them what to do. So they were a bit like, if I'm funny, and I think, I remember we did some deals with certain people and you're like, oh, you're really funny. And then some athletes, you're like, oh, you're really stiff. Like you're not, you're not good at this at all. And so I'd say one is like the idea that like athletes just showed you who they were on social media in the most raw form and very like daily form, not like a one-off. And then the other bit that really happened was with brands, they became this big thing about like producing good content and what is good content, right? So like, is it nicely shot videos? Is it, is it funny? Is it whatever else? And so we've really seen this new era of like athletes as content creators versus I'm not paying you because you're going to be picked. There are some brands who'll pay you because you're going to be in the first pick in the NFL draft. But a lot of people would go, I'd rather pick the eighth guy if that person's a better content creator. And that's an interesting flip.
So in our business, we're coaching athletes on a wide variety of life skills to take advantage of their celebrity. And I tell young people all the time, whether you're the superstar or not, you hold some celebrity in your community if you play in high school at a high level and go to college, right? It's a very small percentage. And how do we take advantage of that, right? How do you leverage that? And to me, it's about storytelling, right? It's about creating that audience that you're talking about and expanding it. It's not a picture of grandma's turkey at the holiday table. That's your friends and family circle, we say, right? How do we tell that story? What are some of the tricks and tips that athletes that you've worked with or you've seen, the most successful ones at storytelling, why do people resonate with them? What is it that they do?
Yeah. Okay, a few tips. Very tactical, actually, I'll go for, and then you can tell me if you want me to be a bit more strategic. But like, just recently, there's a footballer, a soccer player, Patrice Evra, and I was noticing he like comments back to the top few comments, which I think is like pretty amazing, right? Like interacting with people, that's so cool. because more people are going to follow you and comment because they hope that you'll respond. One. Two is we recently worked with a client and they picked a few people who did postings together. So we have three college lacrosse players who came in with their pitch and they said, we'll do stuff together. And they love that. So almost kind of that idea, like, yes, it's social media and it's off, like it's online and it's, you know, not real, but actually by having other people working together, you're almost like, oh, that's fun. And, you know, we see it with couples when like couples do things and you resonate with it more. So like trying to include other people like teammates, family members or whatever else to bring that to life. Three, I'd say is like have some themes, like, you know, is your theme. And a good way to think about it is like, who would your dream sponsors be? Now, let's not all go like Nike and McDonald's and Audi. Like, let's go like niche, like no one who's listed. You know, so no big Fortune 500 companies, who would they be? And if it's like, oh, I'd love a pet food brand because I spend loads of money on it. Let's do some really cool content around your pet. If it's like, oh, I really, you know, I eat loads of eggs. Let's do that. So kind of almost like manifest the kind of people you want to work with, like in your content, like become the authority or like the expert or even just like, you know, someone who talks about that kind of content.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's great advice and it applies to athletes of all caliber, right? And whether you're, you know, the all American or the small college, you know, person that's backing someone up. So I think those are great stories. So what does open sponsorship do for these athletes? How does it actually work?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a free platform for athletes to sign up. We have 18,000 athletes, about half are signed up by agents and half are signed up themselves. Actually, very interesting, given your network, we actually have, as I'm sure you know, like athletes have an entourage of people around them who are all like trying to help them do deals and do things, right? So it could be like the PR person, the next door neighbor, the cousin, the official agent, whatever it may be, right? And so we have a lot of people who are athletes or like recently graduated athletes. They didn't make it, but their friends are like in the league or whatever else. And so they will almost act like a mini agent on our platform and sign up other athletes to do deals for them, which I think is like one of the biggest benefits of what we've done is almost like democratize the ability to become a marketing agent for players in your network. Anyway, so athletes can sign up, you sign yourself up, you sign someone else up, you sign up, you create a free profile, a bit like a LinkedIn profile. And then you can see campaigns, essentially job postings. So, you know, hey, supplement company is looking for a college athlete to turn up to this store and post about it, or, you know, make an appearance. We're offering $500, $5,000, $50,000. And then these are the criteria, and then you apply. So it's basically like a job finding site. Then we manage everything, the contract, the payment, the deal management, the ROI, all of it. So a big part of what we do is we're going out to brands and saying, hey, pick athletes. And they're like, yeah, but why? And we're like, well, here's some ideas and here's why athletes, look at the engagement, look at this. And we're getting them in. And then it's really up to the athletes to go, well, pick me over anyone else.
Got it. That's an amazing platform. And people can find you open sponsorship. opensponsorship.com. Where else can they find you?
Opensponsorship.com. We have a mobile app that you can download, or like find us on Instagram if you've got questions, at Open Sponsorship. Yeah, we'd love to hear feedback, get more people paid, and help you create good content.
Great. Well, I love the concept and I love your background. I'll give you just one last thing. When you're telling your story about your athletic career, remember, the older you get, the better you were.
I like it.
Right? So there, you can share that with your audience next time. No one will ever know whether you scored all the goals or made all the points or led the team and whatever. So that's my last bit of yuck it up advice. Ishveen, this is really great. I want to keep in contact with you. I think our audience needs companies like yours to help them. This is a new space. I think the athlete marketing world is just beginning in the United States college and even high school level. Name, image, and likeness has been distorted by the big time athletes and the big time programs, but there's millions of kids, just average everyday student athletes, using sports to better their life. And I think you're using sports to better the lives of the people around you. I want to say congratulations on the success of your company.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks for having me on, and good luck to you too.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.